But another Easter has come and gone, right? I don't know about you, but this is what it seems like in my experience. For Christmas, for instance, around Halloween for some people, maybe Thanksgiving for most of us, we plan and we plan and we shop. Christmas comes and then it's over. In some ways, Easter is like that for me. We plan all the activities for Easter and then boom, it's gone. And for many Christians, for all of us, this is it. This is the best thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. And then it's over. And unfortunately, we just don't think about it much after it's over, so we're going to think about it a little bit more today. I want to report that we put on the prayer request that here in Bryant, that Doyle and Annabelle, is that right? Is that how you say it? Miller, have COVID. Well, Doyle passed away of complications, health complications. And as I was looking through the obituary, searching to where his information would be, I was just reading a lot of different obituaries around Portland. And it can be sad, can't it? It can be sad. When we live in this world and we watch the news, I'm just telling you, hopefully you're better off than I am right now, but I'm just sad about all the things that are happening. But listen, Easter turns all that stuff upside down. And it is the best thing that ever happened in the history of the world, and we can't let it pass just in one day. Last week, I just want to report on last week. We had a great day. Some of you came to the early service. About 80, 85 people participated in that service, and it was a really good time. We talked in that service about God abiding with us, that Jesus abiding with us. And I don't know if it's still sinking in. This is the reason why I want to talk about it again, because he wants to abide with us equally and above our need for him. Let me say that backwards. Our need for him is infinitely great. Our need for him is infinitely great. Without him, we have nothing. He said in that verse, when we are away from the vine, we're away from the branch, we can do nothing. Our need for him is infinitely great, but he reminds us that he wants to abide with us. His desire to abide with us supersedes our infinitely great need. I hope that's sinking in. That's what we talked about in the early service. And then we had breakfast. Over 100 people probably ate breakfast. And then in the morning service, we had about 120 people who attended. It's not as many as we had a couple years ago, but things are a little bit different than that time. But we are glad that we had a good service and a good attendance. The presence of God was with us, and we had a great time surrendering. We didn't sing the song, but we could have. I surrender all, I surrender all. And many people came just basically say, I give it all up, so that he can fill me all up, right? And we have the Holy Spirit in us, but when we hold on to certain things, whether it's fears or anxieties or sins or habits or whatever it is, and just non-responsive when he says go, obedience, those things crowd out the Spirit in our lives. And many said, I don't want that. I want the full Spirit in my life. And it was a good time to finish the service. Now, I don't know about you, but the rest of the day was spent with family. And if you were able to paint a picture, now some of you really like the heat, I know, and your favorite day would be like 90 degrees and sunny. My favorite day is 70 degrees. That's just about perfect. They call that room temperature. So most of your life is spent at 70 degrees, at least at my house. So being outside in 70 degrees, not too hot, not too cold, and the wind was variable from the west. I don't know where it was, but it was nice. There was almost no wind. It was a perfect weather day to spend with family and to celebrate the best news of all. So I'm going to take a few moments as you're thinking about things to be thankful for, and I will guide you in that in just a moment. I want to take a few moments. I don't do this very often because I just don't do it very often, and I need to do better. But I want to thank Patrick and Jennifer for their help during the week, for setting up the tables, for getting the sound ready, the overflow room ready, the bulletins ready, the Easter egg hunt ready, and so much more that they do. They deserve thanks. I want to thank Jessica and Amy for singing last Sunday. They did a great job. Their songs were appropriate, and their selections added to the service. I want to thank the Pinkertons and the Evans for putting out the food at breakfast, and all of those of you who just stepped in. Maybe they asked you, maybe they didn't, but you stepped in to help, and you helped clean up. We appreciate that. Many of you who brought in the egg casseroles and the fruit and the other food items, we thank you for that. This isn't Easter, but I'm already thanking you for filling up the pregnancy care bottles. I've been told by the Pregnancy Care Center that we are one of the most generous when it comes to this, the bottles. Is that correct, Diane? And thank you for that. Appreciate that. Keep it up. And you deserve thanks. I want to thank those, a big, big thanks. If I had something to stand on, a big thanks to those who helped out in the nursery, the children's church, and the garden last week, because someone had a service that lasted an hour and 45 minutes. And so that means they were in those places, these tight quarters, with a bunch of kids. So I'll mention them. Jonathan and Clarissa did the 7:30 service. These young people got up early to come and do the nursery during the communion service. So we thank them. Thank my wife and Lauren in the nursery, Marge Hershey and Jennifer Betts, who stepped in the garden in Laurel's absence, and Scott, who was in the children's church. We had a spirit-filled service. They had a spirited service. There was a lot of spirit going on in those things. It was a we thank them for that. I want to thank Laura Walter, and you may not know this because she told me really she didn't really need, but I know that no one needs or wants, to be, they don't necessarily do it for recognition. But Laurel was the one, and her girls were the ones who provided all the chocolates last week after the service. And they had already committed to that before Don got sick and passed away, but they wanted to do it, and we appreciate that. And we ended up using every one of those. I failed to announce it. So if you didn't get a chocolate, that's my fault. But some of you, assumed that's what they were for and took them, and we appreciate that. But we actually used them throughout the week to bless a bunch of other kids. And so we want to thank them for that. We want to thank the praise team. We want to thank Jane Evans and John McFarland for playing the piano each week. We want to thank the ushers, those who pass out bulletins, teach Sunday school. And I know I've left a lot out, but we want you to know that we appreciate you. It's not my church. It's really not your church. It's God's church, and it takes us all. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support for services and for the ministries of the church. I especially want to thank Dean and Maria, who come to church at various times sometimes during the week to pray for us, and it makes a difference to pray for you, some by name, through the directory, and you're prayed for, and we appreciate that very much. It makes a difference. But we don't do it for recognition, but we do it because God deserves it, and we want to see the church continue to grow in His name. We are a community of believers, a body, a group, and it takes us all. So keep it up. Thank you so much. God is good. He's been with us. He was with us last Easter, but here we are today. Now what? Have you ever asked yourself that question? After a big event or a big day or even vacation, now what, right? Well, Easter, for many, will just be put on the shelf until next year. And we don't want to let that happen. We don't want to let that happen. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus changed everything. The Yale historian, and I can't even pronounce his name, but we'll say it's Jaroslav Pelikan or something. Probably not right. But here's what he said. Regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, thinking of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. Now listen to how he's trying to paint this picture. If it were possible, with some sort of super magnet, to pull out of history every scrap of metal bearing at least a trace of his name, how much would be left? What he's saying is if we could take something, and we wouldn't want to, but if we could, and we could remove everything that the name of Jesus, his followers, the love that we have for him and he had for us, Every Christian hospital, everything done in his name, every Christian university, every church, every pregnancy care center, every food pantry that is done in his name, what would be left? Jesus changed everything. So why? How? What do we attribute it to? Well, let me just give you a simple survey of Jesus' life, a simple survey. He was raised in humble Jewish surroundings in a Roman-controlled Judea. He never traveled more than 200 miles from his birthplace. He had a small group of simple followers. He was killed for violating the religious laws of his own people. He never received political power. He never raised an army. He never conquered territory. By historical standards, Jesus didn't cut it as an influential figure in political, economic, or military power. So what made the difference? When Jesus was about 30 years old, he started his public ministry around the Sea of Galilee. He was known for powerful teaching and a series of recorded miracles. Over the next 3+ years, his reputation spread throughout the region, although he tried to keep a low profile. The Roman rulers of the Jewish provinces and the religious leaders of the Jewish people kept an eye on him. But why? I mean, his teachings include things like God loves us, love each other, people have unique value, the kingdom of God has come, God will judge us in the end, and God forgives those who ask. But for some reason, Jesus became more and more of a perceived threat to the organized religion. And as a result, the Jewish leaders asked the Roman leaders who were in control to execute him. There were official trials, but the Romans determined that Jesus was innocent of a crime against Rome. The religious leaders persisted with political arguments and ultimately persuaded Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to approve an execution. He was mocked, tortured, hung on a wooden cross just outside Jerusalem, and his followers scattered, and 3 hours later, he was dead. And yet 2,000 years later, he's made all the difference. Why? Because of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection made all the difference. It changed everything. It started with his disciples. You know the story, right? After he was crucified, they hid, they fled. Peter denied. And yet, after the resurrection, we know that most, if not all, the disciples were martyred for their faith. For their faith, no, yes, but for their belief in that Jesus rose again. It made all the difference. Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was skewed. John was boiled. What turned cowards into heroes was the resurrection. For 40 days after his death, many different people saw him alive. Women, tax collectors, fishermen, and 500 people at one time. It was the resurrection that made all the difference. When you witness the type of beating and execution that Jesus went through, when you saw him put in the grave, wrapped up tightly and locked away for 3 days, and you know he's dead, and then you see him alive, it makes all the difference. You see, that's our quest. It's life that we're all after. Whether it's a young kid that wants to experience the outside and swing as fast as he can and get those little butterflies in his stomach, it's life. Whether it's a person in their midlife, you know, and they have family and they have things they like to do, it's life. And it's the opposite of life that we fight our whole life. We go to doctors, we try to eat right, we diet, we do these things, right? We drive on the right side of the road, we wear our seatbelts, we wear our helmet. Why? For life. It's life that we want. And it can only be found in Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, we follow his teachings. His teachings are good, and they should be followed. They're the word of God, they're the truth. But it's the resurrection that makes all the difference. I will tell you something sad, and then I'll get back to my point. I actually read an article this morning of a prominent pastor who flipped it. He said, it's not about the resurrection. It's about his teachings. But my friends, it's about the resurrection. His resurrection is the exclamation mark from his teachings. But his teachings would have evaporated if it wasn't for the resurrection. And the Apostle Paul explained it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We therefore, buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The resurrection provides us not just life, but a new life. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25 to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, they may mean the same thing, but I think it's an emphasis on the life. His resurrection provides us new life. And last week, that's what we talked about. We said the power of the resurrection isn't just to save us or justify us. It's not just to glorify us someday in heaven, but it is to sanctify us and give us a new life today. Does that make sense? It's worth repeating today. I want to read to you a portion of Scripture, a lengthy portion, more so than normal, 17 verses is all, but I'm going to use the Message paraphrase because it helps us hear it differently than we've heard it before. And this is from the Message. Colossians chapter 3 says this. So if you are serious about living this new resurrection life in Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up. You, your real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like it whenever you feel like it. Grabbing whatever attracts you, your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of God. It's because of this kind of things that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. So make sure it's gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every time your new way of life is custom made. Every item is custom made by the Creator with its label on it, with his label. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, they mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone included in Christ. Chosen by God for this new life, for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe of God that he picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. It's about your turn. I'm just warning you. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of your house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail of your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, giving God, thanking God, the Father, every step of the way. So let me just help outline this, and then we're going to hear a little bit from you. That a resurrected life is marked by many things. A new life has new evidence, and I'm just going to outline them, and then you're going to illustrate them. But a new life in Christ, a resurrected life in Christ, is marked by worship. We just read it, but I'll go back to the NIV. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Colossians 3:15. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. As far as we know, and I don't think this is a stretch, the New Testament church, the early church, did not just celebrate the resurrection once a year. They celebrated every week. And that's what became known as the Lord's Day. The reason Sunday's Sunday and the reason we meet together is because of the resurrection. I want to give you an example from Scripture so you know I'm telling the truth. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Sounded a little bit like last Sunday morning. And then there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul, talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." And then he went upstairs and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left, and the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Well, last week we had a little episode in the first service. We had one sleeper. He's not here right now, and he's a younger person, so it's okay to talk about him. But he's okay, and he did not require a prayer resuscitation, all right? That would have been a first for me if we would have had that happen. Somebody, two or three people, come up to these mics quickly and just give God a word of praise. It's worship. A resurrected life is marked by worship. Who's going to start us out? The next one is a resurrected life is marked by love, and I want you to be thinking about someone who's loved you or you've showed love to or God's love. Worship, who's going to come up? We need you at the mic. Either one.
I'm pretty nervous getting up in front of people. I've never been a Christian all my life, and it amazes me how Jesus has worked in my life. I dabbled in religion quite a bit, but it wasn't up until a few years ago that I became a Christian and understood the difference. I know this through the resurrection, because when he died on that cross, he knew that he was doing it for us. I was saved because of that. Through the Wesleyan Church, I became a Christian. I had an accident at this church that I felt ashamed about, and I come to learn because of the resurrection that the one thing I get from it is Jesus, and our Almighty God loves me more than I could ever love him. And that's what I get out of it. I have family and friends and church members that have never looked down upon me for what happened that 4th of July. But it always bothered me of the way I acted at the church. And I was ashamed. And it took me a while to come back. And I am glad I am, because this is The closest thing a person can have to blood family is their church family. And I wanted to let everybody know that even though I only dabbled in religion, I became a Christian because of my son. Usually it works the other way around, but that's why God was always there for me. Jesus was always there in my life. I believe in them footsteps. There was a lot of times when there was only one set of footsteps in my life. And it took me a long time to figure it out, that it wasn't me carrying the load. It was Jesus carrying my load for me. Thank you.
Good. I'm not going to cut anyone off, but we're going to make these two, because you can say anything you want whenever I give you the mic. So we're going to let these two be the end of this point, all right? Go ahead.
I'm so glad she's here beside me. Mine's just really simple and simple. The Bible says that if we don't praise God, the rocks will, and I praise him because he is worthy to be praised. Ain't no rock going to cry in my place. I praise him because he's worthy.
Good, good.
Well, I just want to say that a very, very devastating time of my life, a hurt that was greater than I can even tell you, God came to me when I was on my knees trying to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Why are they saying these things? You know, how am I going to get, I don't even know, just questions, questions, questions. And all of a sudden, I heard this voice say, be still and know that I'm God. And it all left, every bit of it. He is God, and he, it's like Amy tells us, I got this. You rest, I got this. See, that's where rest comes, when we just give it to Jesus. If you have anything in your life now that is just crushing you, just be still and give it to God and have rest, because he will give it to you. Praise God.
Good. Now, if you have something on your heart that fits that category, you can still come up and veto me. But we're going to move into the next one, but I'm hoping to see and hear from more of you, okay? Marked by worship, a resurrected life is, and marked by love. Colossians 3:12, a new life, says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We've already heard how God has loved us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, but hates his brother or sister, the person is a liar. So is there anyone here today that would just like to come to the mic and just either A, share how God has loved you, and that would continue with what we just heard, or how has someone else loved you in the name of the Lord? How have you sensed God's love, either him directly or through an individual? Is there anybody that can come up and apply this statement? All right, we need you at the mic. So while Sue's coming forward, we'll get someone else up here. Huh? Well, you can try. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on, Sue. We'll get you a microphone. And anyone else who wants to speak? Anyone else who wants to share, come up to the mic in a minute. Got to hold it up or it won't get recorded.
You have to bear with me now. I just want to thank everybody for being here for me. I fell out of the combine. It's going to be 3 years in July. And I ended up with drop foot. That's why I have to use the cane. And for 2 years, I sat in my chair. I was so devastated. I didn't know what to do. I thanked the Lord. He came into my heart and said, come on, get up, go. And I've been going ever since. So I thank all of you for being there, especially Joanne Conker. And of course, Diane Loy. There's so many of you. I can't name you all. And of course, you, Pastor Paul. Thank you so much. God is so good. Just let him in your heart, and he'll guide you through whatever you need to go through. Sue Arnold, Wanda, a lot of you know her by that. I say Sue. Such a wonderful lady. They all are.
Good.
So thank you very much, everybody.
Good.
God bless you.
A good example of how she has felt God's love through other people. Anyone else want to add to that? We're going to make him come up so we can see you and hear you. This may get out to another country. We never know who's watching our video. No, come on. Yep.
Thankful that on Easter Sunday, just last week, we weren't here. We went to visit our son and his wife. And, you know, as a parent, you instruct. You always instruct all your life. You're instructing. And then whenever you get to have married children, you're trying not to instruct. And then just, so we were sitting in their living room watching the Easter service. And Jesus' presence came. And I asked my son and daughter-in-law if I could pray for them. And they both said yes. And I knelt in front of them and took their hands. And out of me, it came this prayer of thanking God for keeping them safe. All these, they'll be married 10 years. They're not following Jesus closely. But it was just there. The love of God was just there, pouring out of whatever he had to say through me. And when I opened my eyes, my daughter-in-law had tears, and my son's look on his face was so sweet. It's just, you know, they needed love at that moment, and Jesus gave it to them, and I am so thankful.
Good. Pull hard. You got it.
Of noise. I'm very thankful that since I've become a Christian and I have now have this very large family, I got extra on all the friends I now have. I now have a new deck. Things have been getting done at my home and everything seems to be going great. I mean, everything's just falling into place and working perfectly for me. Whenever I have something I'm worried about, I can ask for the prayers, and there's always prayers to help me. And I know if I have any kind of trouble, I can call anyone in here, and I'll always have someone to help. And I'm very thankful for the friends and family I now have, and I don't have to worry about nothing no more.
Good. Marked by worship, a resurrected life, a new life is marked by worship, marked by love, and marked by joy. We need to be reminded from time to time, because of the resurrection, we can have joy in our lives. Joy, you might not think of it this way, but it seems the Bible indicates that joy is a primary emotion of God. We don't always think of God as joyful or filled with joy. We think of him in other ways. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, you don't need to know the context because it's really the end that makes sense to us in this application. that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God. What's that mean? Well, if you remember the Beatitudes, and it talks about blessed are they who this and blessed are they who that, in modern translations, they actually transcribe the word blessed to happy. Now read this verse concerning the glory of the happy God. Do you think of God as happy? Now, if I were God, I don't know if I would be too happy with the world I look down upon. But his emotion is joy. Jesus, being God in flesh, said in John chapter 15, verse 11, that we should be filled with his joy. He said, I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The Living Bible puts it this way. I have told you this so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your cup of joy will overflow. Now, I know that there are days when we don't feel joyful, but is there anyone here that can share a time in your life, or maybe now is the time, because of the way God has blessed you, then you too can be happy. I'll start it out while I hope a couple people will come, but I want to let you know that I'm blessed, and my family makes me happy. I am blessed because of Rosie's testimony the other day when she said she found a Timothy after the sermon and just said, Lord, help me, and the Lord did. I'm blessed by some of you who send texts from time to time saying that the sermons have helped you. And certainly I am blessed by a card I received this week and many other things. So is there anyone else that could say a word or two about being blessed or God blessing you in an effort to give you joy?
I just want to say how blessed I have been this year to teach Kids Club. I'll be honest, those of you that have volunteered at that ministry can probably identify that there's some weeks, and there's many weeks you kind of go, okay, it's Wednesday, let's try to get through this. I don't know if it's because we missed so much last year, but it has just been a blessing to me week after week to teach the Bible story, the Bible lesson to the kids. 2 weeks ago when we had our Easter lesson, I had preschoolers clapping and cheering at the part of the story when Mary recognized Jesus' voice. They spontaneously clapped and cheered at how wonderful that was. I had a preschooler jump out of his seat, come up, tap the podium and say, "You are doing such a great job." Jane, does that ever happen to you at school? No, it's been fabulous. I have fourth and fifth graders that are asking deep theological questions about God, about heaven, about hell, about how do you get there? So I am just, every week, it's like you never know what kind of questions you're going to get, what kind of comments you're going to get, but it's been fabulous. And I am just so thankful that it has been a passion of Marge Hershey's all these years to have that ministry and to make sure that it continues year after year. So I'm just so thankful for that.
Yes, I agree, Angela, and you do a great job. I am blessed today just to have special friends in our church. It's amazing. Last Saturday afternoon, we were just sitting at home, and all of a sudden we heard a knock on the door, and I told Terry, who could that be? And here, it was Mario and her husband. Oh, it was so good to visit with them and just share time and have our meal together. It's just a blessing to have people like that that we know that care and that love everybody in this church. And I'm so thankful for the love and for the friends and the fellowship that we have.
I ditto that, Joanne. You're a wonderful person. Been a good friend. I just want to elaborate on the Ricky that just was up here. I got the honor of taking care of him in home health care. Has it been 2 years ago? Been a while. But I took care of him for 3 years, but it's been a couple years since. But when I first met Ricky, I found out that he was, or I knew, kind of knew that he was my niece's step-uncle, your Carrie's step-uncle. So his stepsister, Annabelle, who just lost Doyle. Annabelle's your half-sister. Half. Okay. Annabelle is the mother of my first niece in the Miller family. So we connected there. And Ricky was, I loved going to him, taking care of him. He was a super guy. But he was a little rough around the edges. Not going to lie. A little rough. My burden went out. I had a burden for Ricky. I knew he needed the Lord. I knew his mom had a burden for him. She expressed that many times, that she was concerned for Ricky's salvation. So I think I came to Pastor Paul one time with a big burden. I said, we need to pray for Ricky. Ricky needs help. Ricky needs the Lord. Like, Ricky's close, but he just isn't quite there yet. So I didn't really go to his house. I wasn't really allowed to preach to my patients. It's, you know, how that goes. But I secretly prayed for him when I would leave. And I asked Pastor Paul, I know you probably were praying for him, maybe before I even asked. But the burden was there. It was there. And so during that time, I had gotten really sick about 3 years ago, this close to death. And I still wonder why God didn't take me. 3 years ago, I had E. coli septus. I should have died. I think back, why didn't I? I would be in praising Jesus right now in front of him with my sister-in-law and her daughter. And I'm like, why didn't you take me, Lord? It was so close. But I would have not been able to watch the results of prayer for Ricky as he gave his life to the Lord last year, back in August, or was it May? May the 18th. I wouldn't have got to witness him receive Jesus and be baptized into the family of God. And I would have not been there for that. But so is that why I'm here? Maybe. Is that why I'm still here? But I did get a witness, my two oldest granddaughters, be baptized in the family of God. So a lot of things have happened just since last May, August, a year ago, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's why I'm still here. But I still would be love rejoicing with Jesus. But the joy of, I think of that every day, the joy of me getting to witness Ricky being baptized into the family of Christ. That has brought me probably the most joy, even more than my granddaughters, because Ricky, you are special. And I knew that the minute I met you. I just didn't tell you that, but I didn't want you to give a big head. But that has meant probably the most to me, and brought me the most joy in the last year. So keep up the good work, Ricky. Don't give or give up. God's got a plan for you.
I show you this picture. This picture. This is a character, the Jesus character, out of the new Netflix program called The Chosen. Many people are finding it helpful, but I think one of the things that we should find most joyful is that they depict Jesus as a happy person. The resurrection can make a world of difference, as we've just heard, in our lives. It should make a difference. As Christian people, people who have experienced the resurrection, we should be the joy-filled people. Doesn't mean we're always happy. Joy is a little different than happiness. But it means we should be happy a lot, because joy fills our soul. I want to just make the last comment that a marked, resurrected life is a life marked by service. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, the Son of Man, that's probably my mistake, but from Matthew 28, it says this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. So we're going to close by just saying, keep living the resurrected life. Keep serving. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. And the Lord will continue to do great things in our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? You may not know this song. It's been years since we've sung it, probably. But it's a simple song to close our service with. It's a song that, it's just a simple chorus. And we're going to sing it a cappella. I believe I have the words. It goes like this. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, thank you for the opportunities that we have. Every breath, every thought, everything, every ounce of energy that we have comes from you. We thank you that we can use it to bring glory to you. It starts from the inside out. We can't do something on the outside to create a new life on the inside. But once you've changed us from the inside, our life is new, resurrected, and we show it on the outside by worship and love and joy and service and many other characteristics. We thank you, Lord, that your church is called to continue to share the great news of the gospel that won't just last another 200 centuries or 20 centuries, but will last eternity. And Lord, we thank you for this day again, for your faithfulness in meeting with us. Be with us throughout the rest of this day as we give it to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, hope that